And joining us now is Mona Mangat, who is the chair of Doctors for America. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mona Mangat.
Thank you so much for having me.
And clearly America needs doctors, and apparently rural America needs them more. So what's the, give me an idea of what Doctors for America are about.
We are a national organization. We have over 16,000 physician and medical student members in all 50 states. And we are trying to advocate for the creation of a better healthcare system, one where every person has access to high quality and affordable healthcare.
So what's your sense then of where we stand with the Affordable Care Act? Because a lot of people thought we should adopt what most other countries have, which is some form of single payer. And then others suggested maybe just, you know, expanding Medicare, which works well. So, but we've ended up with this insurance-based model.
And your term "we ended up with" is exactly what it is. You know, that whole process was quite a difficult one, and I think we ended up with what was politically feasible at the time. Doctors for America sees the Affordable Care Act as an incredible opportunity. It does not see it as the panacea for all our problems, an opportunity to really start to create the kind of change that we want. We definitely see enrollment as, or at least access to care, as one of the most critical pieces of this, and that's why we're working very hard to ensure that everyone has access to health insurance.
So one of the arguments for healthcare reform has been the fact that the U.S. spends more than any other developed country and has the worst outcomes. We're up to about 18% of our GDP. Other countries, I think Israel's around 7%, and the European countries tend to be around 8 or 9%. So we're doubling the costs with the worst outcomes. Does that argument resonate? You would think it would resonate with conservatives, for example, business-minded people, that it's just, you know, they're the ones, after all, who keep telling us the sky is falling because of the deficit.
I actually think that this speaks and really bothers people, especially in terms of American exceptionalism. I think people don't like to hear that we're not the best, that we spend the most money, we don't have the best outcomes. But the numbers are the numbers. I think if you have some rare disease or very complex disease, then you'll be lucky to be in the United States. But if you have run-of-the-mill diabetes, high blood pressure, asthma, and you don't have access to health care, then you're not going to do very well in the United States. So this is an argument that resonates deeply with me and many of our members.
Well, what about another argument? Because this is we're in the land of speculation here, and it's probably a luxury we can't afford. But on the other hand, my understanding about medicine in general is that prevention clinics, outpatient type operations for basic screening for basic problems that most people have, is infinitely cheaper than any other system. And at the end of the day, you pick up stuff early, so you don't have the catastrophic costs when things have gone too far. Why isn't there a move in that direction, as opposed to bigger hospitals, bigger health plans, bigger providers?
You are correct that primary care is really the basis of all this. If we can't really prevent disease, then we waste a lot of money and a lot of quality of life trying to treat end stages of diseases. This law does a lot to speak towards prevention. All of these basic preventive services are now covered with no cost sharing under these new health insurance plans that are being sold, as well as through Medicare. So that means your annual exam, your mammogram, your colonoscopy, all these things that work to try to keep you healthy are now, there's no cost barrier for that. So that it should incentivize people to do that sort of thing. One of the other problems is that there's a perverse payment system in the United States where, you know, spending half an hour with a patient talking about exercise and diet is not reimbursed the same way that, you know, doing a procedure is, or, you know, putting a cardiac stent after they've had, you know, coronary artery disease. So there needs to be a lot of discussions and conversations that we have about how we incentivize payment in this country, how we pay for care, and how we deliver it. So I think that we are really changing the conversation now and really going to talk about things that matter. And specifically, the National Prevention Council was formed several years ago. And if you've been following it, there is always a charge to raid the National Prevention Fund, because there is not a great deal of respect given to that that idea of prevention. Probably also because the gratification is very delayed. You don't see an immediate result. This is a sort of long game view, which is hard for many people to have, especially in Washington.
So in other words, you know, in terms of the famous bedside manner, what you're telling us is that the present system doesn't allow for a bedside manner, for the kind of discussions between a patient and their doctor about the holistic nature of this person and their needs. It's in and out. You know, you barely meet the person before they do an expensive procedure.
Right. I mean, that's the way this system is set up. The more patients you see, the more money you make, the more you bill, the more you make. It's not about quality. It's not about spending time. And that's something that, you know, obviously has not been working out very well for the healthcare system.
Well, as the chair of Doctors for America, what do you discover when you travel around the country talking to your colleagues? Are they, you know, happy to make all this money, or are there many who are more, you know, connected with the spirit of the Hippocratic Oath, if you will?
Well, I think that most people that went into medicine must have had some sort of desire to do it that went beyond money, because if you wanted to make a lot of money quickly, there were a lot of better ways to do that. And so I see, when I speak to my colleagues, a lot of hope and a lot of optimism that this is an opportunity for us to create the kind of healthcare system where good care and good quality of life and a lot of focus on prevention is what's focused on. So I actually see, I feel very hopeful as we move forward, especially when I look at my colleagues.
Well, Mona Mungat, I thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you so much for having me. The pleasure was mine.
Again, I've been speaking with Mona Mungat, MD, who is the chair of Doctors for America.